Well, if you've got your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Luke chapter 6, and we are continuing in Jesus' plain teaching, or Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, his address to his disciples, explaining to them how disciples' lives look different than the lives of people who are not followers of Jesus Christ, or they ought to look different. And we've kind of been inching our way through this passage. It's a summer series, Jesus' Plain Teaching, and this is message number 9. We'll complete the series next Sunday with the conclusion of Jesus' Plain Teaching, which is very similar to Jesus' conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Robin mentioned the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, with that parable of the man who builds his house upon the rock and the man who builds his house upon the sand. And so we come to that in Luke chapter 6 next Sunday. We're in a passage that's talked about not judging and take care of the log in your own eye before you try to address the speck that is in somebody else's eye. And so as we come to verses 43 through 45, we find that now Luke, quoting Jesus here, he changes the metaphor, the image, very abruptly. Let me read these verses. This is Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. If you don't have a Bible with you and haven't chosen to open the page, the message notes in the middle of your bulletin have the text there, and I'm going to give you a markup on the screen there of this text. I've given it to you plain, and you can mark it up similarly or differently, and if that will help you follow along as I talk to you a little bit about this passage, then I'd be glad for you to use that tool. Verse 43 says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So how did we get from logs and specks? How did we get from logs and specks all the way down to fruit? How did we make that quick of a shift? Well, if you were to read the passage in the original language, you might come up with a theory, and I did, and so I'm going to tell you about it, that the word for speck is the Greek word karphos. Karphos, and the word for fruit is the Greek word karpos. And so there's only one little word or one little letter difference between those two, and they sound almost exactly alike. And so it would have been very easy for the teller of the story then to switch from one to another. It doesn't show up in English so well, does it? So I've jimmied with it a little bit. No offense, Jimmy. And so I decide, okay, so in the last passage, Jesus was talking about a speck, and in this passage, he's talking about a peck. Because lots of times we measure our fruit in pecks, right? Yeah, you don't know. We're not farmers. We're engineers here, and we don't know what a peck is. But yeah, some places you can still go and buy half a peck of something, right? Yeah. Okay, just trust me. You can do that. An aside, and again, Jane's downstairs, so this won't be a long aside. I'm going to be more conscientious with this children's worker than I am with any of the others for some reason. You can make up your own theories. But so when we change languages, how do we get it to change the language? How do we get the meaning to transfer? And so here we've got a play on words, and so I've kind of worked with it to try and get a play on words. But I want a musician to explain this to me sometime. Martin Luther, okay, wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God," right? And we sing it, and it rhymes. The hymn rhymes. The hymn rhymes in English, but he didn't write it in English. He wrote it in German. Now, I only know a couple German words. Farfenugen, I know that word, and Volkswagen, I guess. And so those two words kind of rhyme, but I don't remember either of those two words in a mighty... So when they sang it in Germany back in the 1500s and ever since then, in German, did it rhyme? And who wants to sing a song that doesn't rhyme? Or how much did we have to change the words to get it to rhyme in English? That's what I want somebody to explain to me. That's another time. You can think about it, but don't think about it right now because I got something else to talk to you about, okay? So we're going to talk about this passage, and it's important for us. I think this is a passage that yields a punch. I've called it Good Fruit. That's the title of the message that I gave it. I want to change the message, but I'm not going to tell you till the end of the message what I want to change it to, okay? I'm going to save the punch just a little bit here, all right? So we're going to see how the message is structured. You see it on the screen. You've got it in your laps as well. Just, three verses here that we're looking at. It's notable in the passage that a little conjunction, a connective, is used four different times, and it happens to be the word for, not F-O-U-R, but F-O-R. It's kind of like therefore. It's a bridge term that's drawing a conclusion. So in light of what God has said about, or Jesus has said to the disciples about specks and logs, now he's going to explain it using this parable that's related by wordplay, but otherwise seems to be totally different. And so he says in verse 43, for there's no good tree which produces bad fruit. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then he comes to verse 44, and it says there, for each tree is known by its fruit. And then right in the middle of that same verse, he says, for men do not gather figs but thorns. And then he skips a verse or all the way down to the end of that next verse and says, finally in conclusion, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So we're going to try and trace the line of thought here, and we're going to have to think hard about ourselves and how we bear fruit, and what kind of fruit is acceptable, and where that fruit comes in, and what that fruit stands for, and then what kind of fruit we are actually producing in our lives. All right? So we're going through this, and it's not hard. But for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. And so, it basically says there's two kinds of trees. Oh, we know that there's many, many kinds of trees. But no, it says basically there's two kinds. We're going to have a category of good trees, and those good trees produce after their kind. Where did you remember hearing the phrase, after their kind? Well, you would remember hearing that phrase from the book of Genesis, back in the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, that God made the plants and they produced after their kind, and then the birds and the fish and the animals, and they produced after their kind. And so that's how it works. And so, Mary, you take your girls out and you pick blueberries, right? And as you're picking blueberries, you say, girls, I want you to just pick blueberries today. Please don't put any bananas in the bucket. Well, no, Mary doesn't have to say that because, no, we would not expect bananas in the blueberry patch, right? No, you're not going to find a banana on a blueberry bush. It doesn't happen. Blueberries are great, and bananas are great, but you don't find bananas on the blueberry bush. And so we've got two kinds, and but you're not going to find bananas in Michigan anyway. But you find burrs. And so Mary might say to the girls, okay, I want you to pick blueberries, but don't pick the burrs. Well, there's no burrs don't grow on blueberry bushes, but sometimes weeds grow up in the blueberry bushes, right? And they can grow up in the middle of it, and you might get some. So just focus on the blueberries that comes out of the blueberry plant, not the stuff that's mixed in, okay? So there could be that kind of confusion. But good bushes and good trees only produce good fruit. And bad bushes and bad trees only produce bad fruit. And so we need to understand that there's only those two different kinds and that we shouldn't be confused by that. We don't like that notion. We don't like that notion. It's always safe for me to use the dog illustration. So we say, good dog. Well, I go to your house and I know for sure it's not a good dog. But you call it a good dog because you think your dog is good. I can see clearly that it's not. But we use the word good in all sorts of ways. And so the dog goes on the carpet. I'm trying to think of the church word I can use there. the dog goes on the carpet. And so then you say, good dog. And I'm thinking, it's a rotten dog. And so then the dog does something else, and then the dog does something else, and so but what's related to us? I mean, not biologically, but what's ours? We want to elevate. We want to call good. We think we're all good. We think we're basically good. Well, let's remember what the Bible says about this. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and everything that He made was good. It was all good. But it also says in Genesis chapter 3 that sin entered into the world and it infected then every part of creation, so that every part of creation is tainted by sin. There are parts of the stream that are more polluted than others, but the whole stream is polluted. And so we want to say, but he's a good kid, even though he just did something grievously wrong. Well, okay, but how do you tell if someone is good or bad? And it says, according to their fruit, because they produce after their kind. And so we need to get a little bit over the sentimentality. We got to get over a little bit of the sappy optimism of saying, if we call it is good, because it isn't necessarily. And we need to agree with what the Bible says about humankind, is that we are all in need of help. We are all in need of help. And so it does say that there are good trees that produce good fruit. Thank the Lord for that. And now it's peach season. I love peach season. Good trees producing good fruit. But there's also bad trees that produce bad fruit. So we need to understand that there's a distinction. Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm guessing at this point, I'm not sure yet, but I'm guessing that when Jesus is using this illustration with his disciples, he says, and you disciples, I really want you to be good trees that produce good fruit. All right? Next 4, down in the next verse, says this. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. Well, that doesn't seem fair. So you got a tree that produces bad nuts. I mean, nuts that are just bitter. Bad nuts. You say, that's a bad tree. Well, don't be so hard on the tree. I mean, it can't help it. You know, and you don't really know the inside of the tree. You don't really know the root of the tree. You're just judging it by its outward appearance. You're so superficial. No, Jesus says, no. You're judged by your fruits. And you need to own your fruit. Each tree produces its own fruit, and the fruit that's your own, you need to own. And so the stuff that's coming out of your life, the stuff that leaks out of your mind, that leaks out of your mouth, those kinds of things, you need to own them, because that's what's really coming out of you. And that is how Jesus says to his disciples, we're judged. That is how other people will say, yep, that's the kind of person he is, because that's what's coming out of him. And they're not going to say, oh, we're going to disregard what's coming out of him. We're just going to look at his heart. People, we can't see other people's hearts. We can't even see our own hearts. We are only known by the fruit that comes out of us. And so don't think you're so elevated that you can make more deep judgments about people based on their heart or some. No. It's what a person does, what a person says that is actually the fruit of our lives. And Jesus says, I want you to be a good tree that produces good fruit, not a bad tree that produces bad fruit. And so we come down to number 3 now, the third 4. He says, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. And you'll see I drew a couple of lines there. A couple of lines are up above. What's good fruit? Well, good fruit in Bible times would be figs and grapes. What's bad fruit? Well, I wouldn't even call these fruit. They're more like weeds. But the bad fruit is thorns and briars. Those are the thorns. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And so we have to look at our lives and say, are there figs and grapes coming out of my life? Or are there thorns and briars coming out of my life? Well, you could almost preach the message at this point and decide what's grapes and figs and what's thorns and briars. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. All right? But what's leaking out of my mind? What's leaking out of my mouth? Because if you're going to be a representative of Jesus Christ, he wants you to be a good tree that produces good fruit. In fact, Jesus has so designed in this world that the followers of Jesus Christ are to be the communicators of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily because we're always preaching, but because the fruit that comes out of our minds and our mouths is Christ-like. That means it's in the form, metaphorically, of figs and grapes, not thorns and briars. And people in the world will choose what's pleasant to them. And if you have thorns and briars coming out of your mind and your mouth, then they simply won't buy what you're selling. They simply won't receive what you're inviting them to. They won't. They'll reject you because your message is hypocritical to what you're saying. And so for disciples, this lesson is essential, that our minds and our mouths match up with our faith. And it's important. And so we go on. Verse 45. This section of verse 45 is the only clause that does not start with a four. And so here, Jesus is giving us a lesson. He is giving a statement of truth. Not trying to explain something earlier, but actually giving us something to lay hold of. And at this point, he doesn't talk about fruit anymore. He talks about humans. He talks about people like us. Verse 45, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Two things I want to note just about the language of this verse. First of all, in Greek, there's at least two words for good. Up above, good tree, good fruit, the word kalos is used up there. It's one of the words for good. Down here with regard to man, it's a different word for good that is used. Why did he change? These words are rather generic, both of them, and so it's not some qualitative, but he wanted to make a distinction. I'm talking about good trees. A minute ago I talked about good dogs, but now I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about good humans, and I don't want you to think about being good humans in the same terms as fruit or dogs. Goodness and humanity is something of a different quality than that. And so now we're going to focus away from the illustration right on our own hearts. We got to think about that. What's going on that's good in your own heart? What's good there? And so it says there in the text, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. All right, so we got that. The distinction, again, only two kinds. We saw that up in the first verse. The other thing that I'd mention to you about this verse is you see one word there that I put a strike through on. The last two lines, the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Well, it says treasure up in the top half of the verse, the good man out of the good treasure, and that's what the text says. But down in the second half of the text, it doesn't use in the Greek text the word treasure. And so it says there, the evil man out of that which is evil, or the evil whatever, brings forth what is evil. We do this in English all the time. We use an understood word. And so we could say to Fred, Fred, I want you to go to the store, and Sabrina, I want you to go too. Well, go to where? Well, everybody knows what I mean. It means go to the store. I didn't have to repeat it because it was in the sentence right before that, right? We use understood words all the time. And so maybe that's the case here in this verse as well. Out of the good treasure, he brings forth this, but out of the evil treasure, except evil treasure, that's two words that don't match very well. It's kind of out of the evil what? One person's treasure is another person's. How's that saying go? Trash, yeah. Maybe that's the word we should put in here. Out of the good treasure, you bring forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil trash brings forth what is evil. Maybe that's what we... But he left it blank. He left a understood word, but do we really understand that what is welling up inside of a bad tree is bad fruit? What is welling up inside of a bad person is bad stuff. And that bad stuff is going to leak out of the mind and it's going to leak out of the heart. It will. It will. And it indicates what kind of person you are. All right, moving along now then to number 5. I've got these numbered on my text. You don't have that number. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And so now, very pointedly, Jesus speaking here, this phrase, is directing us to notice carefully what we say with our mouths and how we say it, the attitude that we say it with. He's doing that. That's where it comes down to. In this particular passage, fruit's used in different ways throughout the Bible, but in this particular passage, all this talk about fruit that we've had, it comes down, what comes out of your mouth? Is it thorns and briars, or is it figs and grapes? So let's go broad. It's easier to go broad first and just apply this a little bit. Jimmy, you prayed about Charlottesville last week, and it's gone on. It was Boston yesterday. And so you've got people who are spewing out venomous things. We are not a people who should be shouting hateful things towards other people. I don't get the neo-Nazi thing. I don't get a hatred towards Jews. It's throughout Scripture and throughout world history. But nonetheless, I don't get it. I don't understand why that happens. But when they say these things, it's not good people saying bad things. This passage doesn't allow that. It doesn't allow that. Out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth is determined by the content of your heart. And so if bad stuff comes out of your mouth, it means you've got a bad heart. It means you're a bad tree. And you need to understand that. If I say bad things, hateful things about our president, I'm responsible for what comes out of my heart, but what this passage is saying isn't so much the responsibility for it, but he's saying what it indicates. It indicates that my words reflect my heart. And so if I'm hateful towards the president, then I'm hateful. Or perhaps you're not so tempted to say hateful things about the current president. Maybe you were more hateful towards the former president. Doesn't matter. Hateful words indicate a hateful heart. Or maybe you would just have been hateful towards the woman who would have been president if President Trump hadn't won. And if you speak hateful things towards her, it's the same thing all over again. What you say comes out of your heart. And you have no excuse. And nobody's going to say, good boy, good girl, when you talk like that. And so this is happening in our world, and it's happening with regard to this divisions that's happening in so many ways. And we can get caught up in it. And what Jesus is saying is, followers of Jesus, don't do that. You might be a Republican, or you might be a Democrat, or you might be this kind of ethnicity, or whatever it is. But primary to all those other things, where you came from, like I said a couple weeks ago, is where you're going. And that depends on whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, watch your mouth, guard your heart, because that's what matters. God has so designed that the world would pick fruit. If they're going to get to know Jesus, they're going to get to know Jesus through you. And what comes out of your mind and out of your mouth matters. And you lose your usefulness. You are as troublesome as a briar in a berry patch if you claim the name of Christ and you are hatefulness. So the title that I would give to this message, and I think it's a better title, it goes along with some of those blessings and woes that we saw earlier in the summer, is this: the problem of a hateful heart. It's a problem. Now, we've got to close this up. But I talked about this a little bit last Sunday, and I'm going to mention it just briefly again. There's a verse in Jeremiah that says, can the leopard change his spots? The leopard looks at himself in the mirror, if there's such a thing, maybe in the still pool of water, and he says to himself, I hate these spots. I wish I wasn't like this. I'm going to try to not have spots. Maybe I can change myself to some animal that doesn't have spots. It escapes me now what it might be in wherever leopards live. But if I try really hard, can I get rid of my spots? Or maybe a briar bush says, I hate these briars. I'm going to try and become something that I'm not. That's not the Christian faith. The Christian faith is not just a try harder religion. Try to be something that you aren't. No. But we saw it in the song earlier, that God asks us to do things that we cannot actually do. Isaiah 55:1, come buy and milk, come buy and eat even though you have no money. But then he pays for it for us. And our God is a God who gives us new hearts. He is the God that can actually change us at the core level, at the root level, so that we can begin to produce a fruit that is in keeping with the person of Jesus Christ, rather than in keeping with the pattern that Adam established when he rebelled against God. And so we need to be refashioned by faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit then comes into our lives and he gives us new birth. It says in some of the passages there that he gives us a new heart. I will replace the heart of stone in the Old Testament and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take that which is black in your heart and I will give you the clean heart, the one that is whiter than snow. That's what has to happen. But it requires of us that we be honest about ourselves because we like to think the best about ourselves. And so we like to tell ourselves, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And then we begin to hear ourselves talk and we hear ourselves think because many of us are too chicken to say the nasty stuff that comes out of our minds. And you shouldn't say those things, but be honest with yourself. If it comes out of your mind and you're too chicken to say it out loud, it still indicates that you've got a rotten root in you. And say, Lord, I claim Christ, but there's an inconsistency here. And I need you to remake me according to the image of your Son, Jesus. I need to be remade into a different kind of a tree, into a different kind of a person, because I own the problem of a hateful heart. And I don't want to be that way anymore because I want to be useful to you and attracting people to Jesus Christ. And I can't do that. I can't do that the way I am right now. So we come to the Lord and we ask him for his help. And we trust that God is so kind and merciful that in spite of what he knows about us, he will do his saving and miraculous work in us. All right, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for illustrations that you use and how they make us uncomfortable. Lord, there's things that well up in my own heart, thoughts that I have and words that I say, wow, did I really say that? And I'm tempted to think, it's not me. That's not really me. But then, Lord, I recognize that your work is not complete in me. And I pray that you would continue to work in my heart and the hearts of these people, that we would be like Jesus, and that we would be useful in your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.